All right, let me get rid of this other one. Okay, so it drops on the floor. I hope I don't step on it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In this one verse, God is speaking some very important truths that we need to understand, embrace, and practice. And in this one verse, it also reveals some of those common mistakes that parents make in raising their children. So let's read this. In verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. First thing I want to point out to you, what's this verse applying to? Pardon me? Parenting. You know, many verses have multiple applications. Many do in the Bible. This verse applies to one thing, raising children. The second thing I want to point out, who is he addressing? Now, did he mean parents? I've had people write supposedly Christian books that actually said that. Oh, shut up. No, he says fathers. He's exhorting fathers that it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility for the training up of our children. It's not my wife's. I don't care what culture you come from. If you were born here in America, there is some philosophies that we've adopted that's come into the body of Christ to dilute and bring confusion over this concept. Because women have breasts, it makes them better at parenting. No, it doesn't. It makes them better at nursing. That's what it makes better, because we can't do that. God is exhorting fathers. It is your responsibility to be the overseer and the trainer of your children. And he doesn't want you looking back to the way that you were raised as your example. He wants you to be looking to God's word. Now, ladies, how many here are single parents? Raise your hand. Does that mean this is disqualified from the principles? Absolutely not. If you don't have a husband there, some of these principles are not going to apply to you when you don't have a husband there, obviously. But the principles that you'll learn through the parenting class on leadership, are leading their kids, discipling your kids, and training your kids will apply to you. But when there is a husband there, God is saying to you, it is your responsibility to be leading. And when men are not leading, you are not fulfilling your wife's companionship needs of feeling secure and protected and one with you. Many women today, Christian women, are not feeling fulfilled in their home, and they aren't even sure why. When I first got married, if someone asked me, hey, are you the leader of your home? I would say, sure is. I'm King Moo Moo. I would have told you. Well, how do you lead with your kids? I'm a leader there too. When my wife starts screaming and yelling, that's my cue. Come in. Rah! And I'd flex my muscle and scream at my kid and threaten to kill him or throw him against the wall, and that would motivate him. I was so ignorant and foolish over the concept of leadership. I saw leadership as my wife kind of setting the temple of how the rules and disciplines were going to go. And my job was to support her inner disciplines with the kids. And if they gave her enough guff that made me have to get off the couch or stop what I wanted to do, that would motivate me to go over and spank the kids. Is that what God wants? That's ridiculous. That was sin. And it was affecting my wife and her fulfillment as a woman. And when my wife is having a hard time experiencing the fulfillment in our marriage, do you think that made it easy for her to affirm me as a man? No. And there are so many marriages when they come in, and they're, oh, we're here for, you know, our kids. And after an hour, I'm going, let me tell you something, you're here for your marriage. Your kid issue is just revealing some other problem. You've accepted a substandard concept in how you raise your kids and how you run your household that is affecting you, bringing unfulfillment. And when men don't feel affirmed by their wives, they're going to go find it someplace else, their jobs, their ministries, their business, you know, hobbies, all kinds of things. Because of our ignorance of the consequences of doing things not according to God's word. And when a man is not leading properly in this area, it also affects a wife's relationship with their children. Instead of being that nurturing mom, she finds herself arguing, harsh, having even a hard time showing affection when they become teenagers. It gets things out of balance. So us men need to invest time to learn how to do this correctly. This verse is basically saying, that we need to create a loving environment in the home, men, and be the one responsible for the training, the discipling of our children. That's what this verse is saying. Yes, God's word says our wife is our helpmate. My wife completed me. My wife has emotional connection to the souls of my kids that I don't have. I can come home and my kids can be sitting there crying and just have the most, you know, hurtful face on. I can walk in and think about one thing. How come that thing didn't get swept in the garage? I look at them, they're crying. I just think they deserve to be crying for something they did. So, you know what? I don't have that connection. And my wife walks in, she sees them crying. The first thing she's concerned about is what? What went wrong? She's not thinking about the chores that didn't get done or whatever, what they did wrong. She's like, she's got this connection. She completes me. So a wise man pursues his wife on wisdom and input, on rules and disciplines. Absolutely, don't be a fool. Our wife completes us. But when done properly, if the child ever says to his mom, I don't like this rule, I don't like this discipline, she can just smile and say, well, I'm the manager here, so go do it. If you don't like it, you can talk to dad. And if you don't do it, here's what I got to do next. Praise the Lord. Because he's my man. He is king, and he protects me. My job as his assistant, as a vice president of this house, to make sure that I follow his desire that I did give input on how we're going to train you up. If you don't like it, argue with God. You're going to lose. She doesn't have to sit there and argue and go toe-to-toe with their teenage son or daughter why a rule exists and why the discipline stinks and so on and so forth. Because most women are emotional, most, and so they'll sit there and get into these low-level, disrespectful conversations, which are nothing besides argument, which the Bible calls sorcery, practicing in your house. Oh, it's happening. And Satan's using that in a great way, in a powerful way, to bring such destruction. And when that goes on, you have a system like that, and mom has two or three arguments like that through the day with a teenager, and the time you walk in the house, husband, dad, how loving and how affirming is your wife? She's looking at you with those disgust eyes like, you're not going to damn that. What? You'd be sleeping on the couch tonight if you'd say something dumb. You walk in the house like that and your wife does not have that protection. She doesn't have a plan in place. You're going to come home. You'd rather go back to work. And men come in and go, see, I got a witch wife, man. I come home, this is what I get all the time, man. Look what she says. Look what she does. It's a dude because you ain't leading. Think of it this way. How many here have run a race before? Raise your hand. So when you walked up to the starting line, and the coach pulls out the gun to shoot it, right, Jeff? Am I flowing with it? Guy with the gun, shoot, you know, okay. Coach is here. You walk up to the deal, and he says, and you walk up, and he says, you're getting ready to go run that race, and you're sitting there ready to go, and then all of a sudden you think about something. Where's the finish line? And you really don't know. Hey, Jeff, where's the finish line? Don't worry about it, dude. Just keep running. Run as fast as you can. Yeah, just keep running. This is long distance. They ain't around track. This is long distance. You're just going through the city, okay? And then right before you go, he goes, wait a minute, stop. I got a partner to run with you, and you guys got to finish your race together. Really? And he brings along your wife. She comes up. She's looking at you. It's okay. You know where you're going? Well, just follow me, man. I'm leader. Bam. You start running. How long do you run going down this street and that street and that street before she just goes, hey, can I ask you a question? Where are you going? And where's the end? Don't worry about it, honey. I know what I'm doing. Just keep following. How long before that wife or that woman just goes, you don't know what you're doing? Where she starts second-guessing you, arguing with you, debating with you, going their own way. Because so many men are ignorant over how to lead in the creating that loving atmosphere in the home and how to discipline and train your children. Not knowing, not willing to invest the time to learn the tools of God. It doesn't take long before your wife is starting to second guess you and question you. Well, there's division and argument. And usually we give up because a wife has a wonderful, powerful weapon. And this ain't sex education, so I ain't going to go there. You start holding back on that, we know us pig men, we can last a couple weeks and then we just give in. Especially when we're 2 or 3 years married. Okay, you win, but go ahead, you got it. It's yours. I see a lot of Hispanics in this room. That's the norm. Mom sets the rules, disciplines, whatever else, a man works. You bring that in your Christianity, you're miserable and you're supposed to be one. Miserable man, unfulfilled. You can't take our culture and bring it into a Christian environment and say, we're gonna let our culture affect the way we do things without you suffering. Some of you women be going, wait a minute, you better clear this up before I go home because my husband's going to go home and tell me what we're going to do. You don't know the idiot I live with. This guy loses it. The kids just leave something on the floor. He blows up an explosion. Well, with the first instructions, a loving environment. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Why do you think God gave us 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8? In those 4 verses, God describes what love is and what love is not. How many Christians, when I take them through that area, go, oh my gosh, I do 5 of those things every day to my son and daughter. They practice sinful communication, harsh anger, especially during discipline. See, most Christians today are under the delusion if you're not disappointed and angry and raising your voice, that discipline doesn't work. I love saying this to them. So when did God do that to you last? Has anyone here saw God stick his face to the cloud? Oh, you are such an idiot. Has anyone? Have you heard him raise your voice, call out your middle name, or start counting? Craig, darn it, one. I was in a store the other day, or it was a restaurant, hearing this father. My son's hurt. You know, he's been traveling with me, so he knows all about this. We're sitting there, my son and someone else, and this man starts saying to his kid, don't get away from that candy. 1, get away from that candy. 2, I got the 12. I wanted to stand up and go, will you shut up? Go out the door, grab her by the hair, pull out. No, I'm just kidding. This little 4-year-old had this man wrapped around his finger. He sat there and counted the 12. Made it such a fool of himself. I thought it was 3. Time out. The rule says 3. You're up to 12. But the guy doesn't know. No idea, no concept. But that loving environment, men, create that loving environment. Do you know how to create a loving environment in your house? You know what? If you aren't taught, if you don't invest time to learn how to do that, even when our wives, if you've been married to a wife that was hurt by her mother and hasn't dealt with some things, maybe has adopted these bad habits of being harsh and angry and yelling at their kids, part of discipline. That's even your responsibility to help her change that. Some of you guys going, oh, wait a minute now. Come to the class. Learn how to even do that in a loving way. A lot of times, woman's frustration and the way she's responding to her kids is a direct result of our ignorance and our lack of leadership. Because they're not experiencing the fulfillment. And you've let, especially you've got these little kids, especially young adults, teenagers, especially boys, who do they practice on first on their leadership abilities? Mom. And you better understand, what is respectful conversation? Your wife, if your kids ever disrespect for your wife, you better say, I'm going to fix that now. This is my queen. She's my queen before she's your mother. And you will always treat her with ultimate respect at all times. She says, come here, you know what that means? Not when you feel like it, that means come here now, not later. You love. And I will motivate you if you don't. No, some of you guys are going like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What's motivation? The second thing it says is we create this loving environment. Because of our time, I can't get into all that, but in our class, we go through 2 hours, that loving environment. He says that we need to bring them up. The word bring up is the word ektrepho, which means we are to raise them to maturity. That's what that word means, bring up. And he says in the training, the word training means discipline. So many of us Christians think that the word discipline means punishment. It does not. We even call it that. You must be punished because you did something wrong. How many times has God punished you for doing something wrong? You blew it before you got here this morning. Were any of you punished before you got here? No. Because we're so ignorant of the concept, God says you are to train them. The word training means to discipline them. Then he says, if they say no to your authority and your discipline, he says, then be ready to scourge them. Which means nothing besides punishment, a measured amount of pain to get them or motivate them to yield to the training. Most parents don't know that. They go from, you break a rule, punishment. You wonder why so many kids are so confused? So why do we got to train them? The Bible tells us. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the hearts of the child. Let me explain the word foolishness just to hopefully bring some clarification. Deficient in understanding, unwise, brainless, irrational, ludicrous, and lack of judgment, lack of character. I'm looking at all your faces, and nobody is surprised. No one's ticked off. No veins are popping out of your neck or your forehead. You know that. Anyone surprised? No. So let me ask you a question. When they act foolish, why do we act like we're surprised? Why do we respond to our children with anger? Let me tell you why. Number one, we're absolutely ignorant over the whole concept and purpose of raising children. We're ignorant with the concept of training and also punishing. The other reason why is we're stinking lazy. We don't want it because parenting work. How many have parents? Or how many have parents here? It's work, isn't it? Work, 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 work. Especially you got, you know, four or five little rugrats running around the house. It's work all continuously. It's work. That's why God says it's ministry. We are fulfilling God's will as a mother and father to our children. It's constant ministry, and it's a priority to Christ. The other reason, again, the selfishness, most parents are very surprised to realize that the personalities that God gave your children was part of his tools or his fingers to shape and mold you. Think of it this time. This afternoon when your kid smacks his brother in the head, spills something all over the floor, puts crayons on the wall, whatever. And you feel all that come up inside you. Stop for a second and go, wait a minute, God. This is you. You allowed this circumstance in my life to reveal my sin and how distant and how ungodly I am. You think he's surprised when the flesh comes to the surface, when circumstances come? You think God's going, darn it, Craig! You should have known that by now. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows you better than you know yourself. He is not surprised, but I know he is very grieved because so many Christians are ignorant of one of his purposes of raising children is our transformation. Every time you and I feel the flesh raising up and we want to give them a piece of our mind which you don't have enough to give, and you want to get in the flesh and act in an ungodly way, contrary to 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 4 through 8, every time God is using this circumstance to purge you. It's one of his methods, one of his purposes. And when it comes out, God tells us, I want you to take responsibility. I want you to go to your son or your daughter and say, you know what, honey? What you did was wrong. But the way I responded to you was wrong too, and I'm asking for forgiveness. When you do that, you now are receiving God's discipline, training. When you don't, you think he's gonna let you get away with it? You think there's not going to be any consequences? Oh, you're going to pay. And some of you in this room are paying. How many have teenagers? If you don't understand what I'm talking about, and you've allowed the flesh, the provoking of your children, allowing sinful, ungodly likeness come up and be part of your, especially your discipline to your children, some of you in this room made your parents pay, didn't you? We hurt them, we wound them over and over and over again. And the worst thing is we convince our kids they made us act this way, which tells them what? God made a mistake. God goes, I never made a mistake when I made them. They're perfect. Your job was to love them and to train them. But when they showed the foolishness character that I told you they were born with, instead of using the opportunity to train them, you got upset and angry and used sin as part of your methodology to train them, which is far from me. I never do it to you. Why do you do it? We wonder why so many kids are walking away from the faith. Where is this all-loving God? What a bunch of hypocrisy. We go to church, we hear about love and power and change and being God-like or whatever. Man, when I go, come in my house, you watch my mom and dad act like anything but God. Man, you roll your eyes and they just flip out. They're threatening to take away everything we own, screaming, yelling. You know, then they start arguing and boom, it's an explosion. Oh, God, what? The hypocrisy. Out of our ignorance. Parenting's tough. It's hard work. Because the hard work is God's work in us and transforming us. And I know I need God's grace when I do blow it to go to my son or my daughter and say, you know, honey, what I said or how I said that was wrong, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. When I do, I experience transformation. I grow this much closer to the image of God every time, and God is faithful. But also, I open that door of that reconciliation with my son or my daughter. Keeps their heart soft and pliable, so when the seeds of correction come, they penetrate their heart and begin to grow. Because when we do not take responsibility, you pound on that heart, so when the seeds of discipline and correction come, it lays on top and never permeates and never grows. And when parents come into my office when they're teenagers, they go, they never do nothing, and they do this, they do that, they do this. By the time I ask them how they parent, I go, you helped them be this way. But the sad thing is, they didn't know. They honestly didn't know. And I am so blessed to meet people like your pastor. It is our prayer, God, pray for laborers. I went through the system. No one taught me. I was just going to kill my kid. That was my motivation. I better learn. I'm going to kill my kid. And I had no intention in sharing the things about raising children. Making and God teach me practical ways of training and working together. What is a proper way of setting rules and disciplines that are predetermined so we're absolutely unified, not letting our emotions at the moment to dictate how we're going to do it. To help my kids understand that you were born foolish, I accept foolishness. I accept it. It's never going to be met with anger and confusion anymore. I accept it. But it's your responsibility to accept my discipline, the train that comes afterwards. And you know, as your father, if you ever say no to me, I will motivate you. Because God said so. That's what the word punishment means. Finding ways to motivate them to yield to your authority and accept your training. If you would just invest the time. 10 weeks. Now you may think, oh my gosh, let me tell you. That 10 weeks will bring you more blessing and fulfillment and happiness in your especially life when your kids get married and you have kids and grandkids yourself. Will bring you more joy and fulfillment than any investment financially you'll ever make in your entire life. It'll bring you more fulfillment than any hobby that you pick up. It will bless you beyond measure. To have be a father and have my sons making the decisions they're making, the relationship that I have with them, as a father, I mean, it's amazing. I'm not bragging. I'm an idiot. I'm a fool that said, God, I believe what you said, though, and I'm going to do what you said. And he has been faithful to give me a relationship with all my kids that is absolutely amazing, not even close to what I had with my father. That's God's promise to us. If you're here and you've had kids and they're already grown and gone and you're going, yeah, I know we made a few mistakes, so we ain't going to go to the class. I mean, that's for somebody else. Oh, shut up. My wife's going to get me for saying that. She keeps saying, no, Craig, people say they give kids discipline for saying that, and you say it from the pulpit. I would never tell her to shut up. Honey, I know I'm sorry. So I guess I'm not because I keep doing it. Anyway. If you're older, God says you're responsible to become a disciple of Christ. The older men in the church to come alongside the younger men and teach them. Your mistakes can be a great motivator to the kids, to the younger people that are raising children. It's not about you. It's about the people around you and doing the will of God. So come. Also come. Because if you did make mistakes with raising your kids and you just made some generalized, oh, I know I blew it, but hey, man, sorry. How'd it work for you? You got kids that won't talk to you? Don't like being around you? Seems to be a big issue every time you have a gathering? Because they're hurt. Come to the class. Learn very specifically what it is that you did wrong. So you can go to that son and daughter and say, you know what? I learned. I spent the time. I wish I would have done it 35 years ago, and I didn't. But I did, and now I know what it is I did wrong, and I'm asking forgiveness for this and for this and for this. Please forgive me. And when parents do that, something in the hearts of their children go, oh my gosh, this is real. Because God wrote these needs in our hearts as children. And when these needs are compromised, when our parents are unwilling or ignorant and not give us those needs, believe me, it causes hurts in us, which causes division. Causes open doors for us when we turn into adolescence, looking for ways to fix it. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, unhealthy relationships that some of you have done. Finding ways to heal this hurt. So when you let God speak to you and examine your heart, when you can go to your son and daughter and be very specific over these sins, this is what I did. I am so sorry for this. Man, you watch God do a miracle. Bringing healing and reconciliation. Glorifying God in our families. It is good to know that God is not going to pull your kids aside and say, I'm sorry for the mom and dad I gave you. He's not going to apologize. Knowing all our sin and weaknesses, he still put those kids into our care. But that's not giving us an excuse to continue in sin and ignorance or not taking responsibility. Some of you that are going to go to this class are going to say, I have never heard these things before put in this light, and I never understood how practical these things are and how I can apply it. Why did God wait till now to tell you these things? His timing's perfect. And just like Joseph, God said he will use your sin and mistakes in your child's life as part of his hands to prove them for the calling upon their life. Satan doesn't want you, God doesn't want you to be filled of guilt like Satan wants you to get filled with guilt. He wants you to quit looking backwards and start looking forward. But God ain't going to apologize to you, parents, for the child he's given you. You may be sitting here, you don't know the Tasman and devil that the pastor was talking about. You don't know the kid I got. I just smile and say, oh, yes, I do. And God said he or she is perfect for you. He knew exactly what you needed to be purged of your sinful, ungodly self. It's perfect. How many here know other parents that are struggling raising children? Raise your hand. It's a common problem, huh? So if you think that you got things in order and you don't need to come, well, if you feel ill-equipped to come alongside them and help them, remember, it's not about you. Every single one of us in this room are called to be disciples of Christ, to be concerned for the spiritual well-being of everyone around us. It is not Pastor Pete's responsibility to disciple every single one of you. He cannot. It is our responsibility, and every single one of us are called to be disciples, to invest the time to learn the things of God, so when God brings those people into our life, we don't just tell them to go to church or go to a class. We're willing to say, I will come alongside you, and I will teach you because I spent the time to learn myself. How many years do we have to be a husband or wife or a parent before we become professionals? How many years? According to the world, you got to go to school and get a PhD and get all screwed up. Full of psychology. According to God, you're anointed priest and priestess. You're my child. I will give you all things if you invest the time to learn by the power of God's grace to give you wisdom and the ability to do it perfectly according to his will. And that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. I didn't mean that. If you invest the time, God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time this morning, and I thank you for your word that gives us wisdom in how to raise our children according to your will. And I know, Lord, the time was short this morning, but I pray that your spirit had his way, that, Lord, you stirred the hearts of your people, that you motivated them to invest the time to learn how to do it according to your will. Father, I pray if the enemy has lied to anyone in this room and have themselves questioning who they are in you and your promises, I ask in Jesus' name that you would bind the work of the enemy even right now. God, that you would remove any fear and doubt that he has placed there. God, that you would help them to forgive one another and be willing to invest the time to learn these things. I pray out of this group you would raise up many laborers who would have a burden and desire to come alongside Pastor Pete and alongside the people in this church and be willing to invest into their lives to teach them these important things that bring such fulfillment. God, we thank you for your glorious promises, for your faithfulness, for your mercy and patience with us. But Lord, may this be a church that brings honor and glory to you and our as husbands and wives and as parents. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Ralph.